राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम इष्टपाद परम श्री गचर अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद्वैन ग्रह सभा अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ऑल गोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo. There is some feedback. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेद् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट नंबर 58 किं दुस्सहं नु साधूनां विदुषां किमपेक्षितं किमकार्यं कदर्याणां दुस्त्यजं किं धृतात्मवान् किं दुस्सहं नु साधूनां विदुषां किमपेक्षितं किमकार्यं कदर्याणां दुस्त्यजं किं धृतात्मनां किं दुस्सहं नु साधूनां విదూషాం కిమపేక్షితం కిమకార్యం కదర్యాణాం దుస్త్యజం కిం ధృతాత్మనాం. దుస్త్యజం కిం ధృతాత్మనః. కిం, వాట్ ఇస్. దుస్సహం, పెయిన్ఫుల్. ను, ఇండీడ్. సాధూనాం, ఫర్ సెయింట్లీ పర్సన్స్. విదూషాం, ఆఫ్ లర్నెడ్ పర్సన్స్. కిమ అపేక్షితం, వాట్ ఇస్ డిపెండెన్స్. కిమ కార్యం, వాట్ ఇస్ ఫార్బిడెన్ వర్క్. కదర్యాణాం, of persons in the lowest grade. Dustyajam, very difficult to give up. Kim, what is. Dhritatmanam, of persons who are self-realized. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as a substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who are fully surrendered at His lotus feet? Purport. Since the eighth son of Devaki was to kill Krishna, one might ask, what was the need for Vasudeva to deliver the firstborn child? The answer is that Vasudeva had promised Kamsa that he would deliver all the children born of Devaki. Kamsa, being an asura, did not believe that the eighth child would kill him. He took it for granted that he might be killed by any of the children of Devaki. Vasudev, therefore, to save Devaki, promised to give Kamsa every child, whether male or female. From another point of view, Vasudev and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna would come as their eighth son. Vasudev, a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year so that Krishna's turn to appear would come as soon as possible. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూప కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. అహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ పృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరత్విషై నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಎವ್ರಿವನ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೀರೀಸ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ 9 days ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟುಡೇ ಅಂಟಿಲ್ ಜನ್ಮಾಷ್ಟಮಿ ಆನ್ ಯು ನೋ ಸಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಅಸೈನ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದ 9 ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟುಡೇ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಟಿಲ್ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟರ್ಡೇ. ಅಂಡ್ ಟುಡೇ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಡ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 58. ಅ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದ ವೇ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಬೈ ಶುಕದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಕಿಂ ದುಸ್ಸಾಹಂ ನು ಸಾಧುನ, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೇನ್ಫುಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಬ್ವಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೇನ್ಫುಲ್, ಯು ನೋ. ವಿದುಷಾಂ ಕಿಮ್ ಅಪೇಕ್ಷಿತಂ, ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ನೋ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್? ಆಬ್ವಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಯು ನೋ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಫಾರ್ಬಿಡನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೋವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್? ಕಿಮ ಕಾರ್ಯಂ ಕದರ್ಯಾಣಂ, ಸೊ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಲೋ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಡೂ? ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಇಸ್ ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡೂ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಐ ಮೀನ್ ದೇರ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡೇರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡೂ. ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಯು ನೋ, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟೈಲ್. ದುಸ್ತ್ಯಜಂ ಕಿಂ ಧೃತಾತ್ಮವಾನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೆನ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಪ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸೇಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬೈ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್? ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಪ್. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ದ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ಈಚ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಆಬ್ವಿಯಸ್ ದ ವೇ ದ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಸ್ಡ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕಾಂಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್, ವೇರ್ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇವಕಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸನ್ ಕೀರ್ತಿಮನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಟು ಕಂಸ, ಯು ನೋ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿ ದ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ, ಬಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಸಿ, ಸೊ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಕಾಂಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ದ ಡೇ ಅ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಆನ್ ದಟ್ ಡೇ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಟು ನೇಮ್ ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಟು ನೇಮ್ ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್, ಡೂ ದ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರ, ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟಿ, ಅಂಡ್ ಯೆಟ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ದಟ್ ಬೇಬಿ ಟು ಕಮ್ಸ ವಿತ್ ಫುಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ದಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲಾಟರ್ ಇಟ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ದ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ವಸುದೇವ್, ಯು ನೋ? ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅಫ್ರೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅ ಲಾಯರ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಕಮ್ಸ ದಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್ ಯು ಈಚ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ಸೊ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಕೀಪ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್. ಹೌ ಪೇನ್ಫುಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಕಾಂಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೇನ್ಫುಲ್? ಸೊ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೇನ್ಫುಲ್, ದೇ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಸೊ ನಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ವಸುದೇವ್ಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಬ್ರೋಕನ್ ವೆನ್ ಈಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್, ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಶಿಲಾ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಸುದೇವ್, ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇವಕಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ಲಿ. ಸೊ ಚಕ್ರವರ್ತಿ ಪಾದ್ ಇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಮೆಂಟ್ರಿ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ರೈಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸಮನ್ ಮೇ ಸೇ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಕುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಥಾಟ್ ವೈ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ, ಯು ನೋ, ನ ವಜೆಗ ಬಾಸ್ ನ ವಜೆಗೆ ಬಾಸುರಿ, ಯು ನೋ. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ದೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್. ಈಸ್ ಎಸ್ ನೋ, ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇವಕಿ ಥಾಟ್. ದೇ ಥಾಟ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಸ್ತ ಧರ್ಮ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ಲಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಮ್, ಯು ನೋ. ಸೊ ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಕ್ವಿಕ್ಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್. ಸೊ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಶಿಲಾ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಇಯರ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಅ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ಲಿ ದ ನಂಬರ್ 8 ವುಡ್ ಕಮ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಟು ಮಚ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಈಚ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಹಿ ವುಡ್ ಗೋ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಆಸ್ ವಿ ನೋ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅವುಡ್ ಡ್ಯಾಶ್ ದಟ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಡೆತ್. ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ 6 ಆಫ್ ದಮ್, ದ 7th ಒನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಂಟರ್ನಲಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫರ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದ 8th ವಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅಡ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರಿಪೇರಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಅರೈವಲ್, ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಸಿ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಬಿಹೈಂಡ್ ವೈ ದೀಸ್ 6 ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಡೈ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಬೈ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಟು ಒನ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ನವದ್ವೀಪ್. ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಕಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಒನ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಇನ್ ನವದ್ವೀಪ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ಲಿ ದ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಪ್ರಭು, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಫೌಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಎಕೋ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್. ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ಇಫ್ ಓವರ್ ಇನ್ ಚಾರ್ಜ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಇಟ್ ರೈಟ್, ಕುಚ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡೂ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಓಕೆ, ಫೈನ್, ನೋ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಮ್ಯೂಸಿಕ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮನ್ ಹಿ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವ್ಸ್ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಪ್ರಭು, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಪೆಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ. ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಪ್ರಭು ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಚೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಬೀಟಲ್ ಮಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಫರ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲಿಪ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ರೆಡಿಶ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಲೈಕ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಚೂ ಅ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪಾನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಬೀಟಲ್ ಅಂಡ್
You know, keep spitting or something. You must have seen at least the perverted reflection of that. You know, so, you know, the lips are red, you know, because of chewing all this stuff. So Nityananda Prabhu would chew like that. And Nityananda Prabhu was always wearing silken garments. And he had so many ornaments on his body. There was gold, silver, diamond, everything was there. And this Brahmin had heard from some people that this Nityananda Prabhu at some point of time taken some kind of sannyas. So he was like completely confused. He said, you know, this is complete violation of everything. You know, because he quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat, those verses come from the various Shastra that sannyasi is not supposed to chew betel, sannyasi is not supposed to wear silken cloth, sannyasi is not supposed to touch metal on his body. He cannot have any metal. So basically he cannot have any gold, silver, diamond, all this stuff. So this Brahmin was completely confused. You know, he's a devotee, he's a sannyasi, and he's doing all this. So, but one thing about him is that he very frankly expressed himself. And that's actually very much appreciated by Mahaprabhu also. So he goes to Jagannath Puri with the idea of getting things clarified from Lord Chaitanya. He goes to Mahaprabhu and he's asking him this question. He says, Mahaprabhu, I have this question. You know, this Nitai who is there, this is what he's doing. You know, this is how he's dressed. This is how he's chewing betel mixed with camphor. And I've also heard that he has taken sannyas at some point of time. Isn't this a violation of the scriptures? So Mahaprabhu begins to instruct him. And in that context, this entire story comes. So that's what we're going to see first. So Mahaprabhu tells this Brahmin, I'll just read that verse. Shuna vipra mahadikari yebe haya, tabetana dosha guna kichuna janmaya. I mean, this first verse that Mahaprabhu tells him is something amazing. Listen, O Brahmin, when one is highly qualified, one is not affected by faults. He starts by this verse. He's a very highly qualified person. He's not affected by dosha. You know, he's not affected by things like that. He starts by saying like this. This itself needs some clarification or some understanding. Interestingly, the same verse comes in the Mahabharata and also comes in the Bhagavatam in a different way. In the Mahabharata, the background is Kunti. Much later in the story, after the war is over, Kunti is very disturbed that I had this son Karna, I abandoned him. You know, it's not a mother's duty to abandon a newly born child in water like this. You know, it's against all kinds of protocols. So, she's asking Vyasadev, I'm feeling very bad that I did it. So, Vyasadev tells her a similar line. He tells her, my dear Kunti, don't worry. People who are very exalted like you are not affected by any dosha. You are not affected. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, what happens is in the context of Krishna Rasalila, Parikshit has this question. This comes in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. Parikshit's question is that, how is it that Lord Krishna is dancing with other men's wives? Isn't it against, you know, standard etiquette and all that? He's asking this question. Of course, Sukadeva Goswami has a huge, big answer for it. But the first thing that he says is a general statement. Dharma vyatikramo drishta ishvaranam cha sahasam tejiyasam na doshiya vahane sarva bujo yatha. The 10th canto, 33rd chapter, text 29. Sukadeva Goswami says, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparent audacious transgression of morality we may see in them. Because they are like fire, for they devour everything fed into it and they remain unpolluted. So, you see that the same thing that Mahaprabhu tells this Brahman is echoed in the Mahabharata as well as in the Bhagavatam, though in a different context, you know. And in fact, Sukadeva Goswami's answer, if you see, he's not answering only about Krishna. He's just talking in general about great personalities. And then, of course, he comes to Krishna later. But the point here to be understood is that very great people who are there, so as Sukadeva Goswami gives his example, they are like fire. Even if some blemish is there, apparently seen, they just devour everything and nothing happens to them. We see sometimes, you know, people, I remember one person would, previously in some college program or something, he had this argument that Agastya, you know, we don't know, so Agastya, he goes and eats meat in that, as a Shraddha, and then Ilvala Vatapi are transformed into ram and they are cooked and fed to Agastya. Okay. So one thing to understand is that, so that's why, you know, those kind of activities are banned in Kali Yuga. Like it is said, in Kali Yuga, you can't offer flesh to your forefathers. You know, so there is a verse in Puranas to that effect. But then the point is, okay, how could in previous ages a person like that do it? The answer is again here. That somebody who is very great and exalted, he may do something
for whatever reason he knows best, and he can absorb those reactions also. He's like fire, kuch nahi hota usko, and this is not to be imitated. So this is where Mahaprabhu starts telling this Brahman that when you see Nithai, you have to understand him like that. Then he tells him that, you know, what to speak of criticizing such person. Garhita karaya yadi maha adhikari nindera ki daya tanre hasileri mari. He tells him that forget criticizing such great people, even if you laugh at them, saying that, are what they are doing, such a great fellow he is, he's doing like this. Even if you laugh at him, you are finished. And then Mahaprabhu narrates this story to that Brahman from Navadvip. Mahaprabhu tells this that there was once upon a time the Rishi Marichi. Marichi is the son of Brahma. And Marichi had six sons. So basically these six sons were the grandsons of Lord Brahma. And it is said that once Brahma had created a girl, a daughter, and he became attracted to her and he started chasing her. Now, of course, this also, you know, one devotee I was hearing his class on this, he was very nicely explaining that the tendency of this world is we get attracted to our creation. So when we hear, you know, Brahma ran after his daughter, again, you know, there everything is in a very subtle level. It's not, it's like we have our own imagination of how in this world, you know, some shameless fellow on the street is running behind a girl and, you know, we picturize that on that. So I was saying, no, it is a very subtle thing here. The point that is being conveyed is that generally, people in the world tend to get attracted to their creation. How true it is. You know, author writes a book, or a parent as a child, you're very much attracted to your creation. You created, I mean, any project you create, you know, as part of your service, you create a project, you get attracted to that project because that's yours. You know, it's your baby kind of. You have created it. So it's actually very natural in a way. It's a very subtle, what shall I say, anartha, to get attracted, to be detached from your own creations in terms of projects. It's very subtle actually, it's very difficult. So Brahma, it was at that level that something like this happened. It was his daughter, it was his creation, but he just got attracted to her. He felt that, you know, she's whatever. So it is said, when this particular incident happened, these six sons of Marichi, that means the grandchildren of Brahma, started laughing at him. They started thinking, what is this fellow, you know? He is getting attracted to, you know, his own creation, that also this daughter or whatever. So it is said that when they laughed at it, they didn't say anything, but they laughed. It is said immediately they had to fall down. Okay? They had to fall down. So now, again, the story goes into a flashback. So Mahaprabhu tells this Brahman that these six children were born as the six sons of Vasudev and Devaki prior to Balaram and Krishna. Okay. And then Mahaprabhu goes into another story saying that after Krishna and Balaram delivered Sandipani Muni's son. So we all know that Sandipani is Muni's son. Sandipani Muni, after Krishna and Balaram learned from Sandipani Muni, they asked for Guru Dakshina. And Sandipani Muni's wife said that we should get something special out of these people. So please get our lost son. And then they went into the ocean and, you know, they got that boy who had whatever from the other lands, they went and they got that child and they gave it to Sandipani Muni. When Devaki heard about it, she thought, my goodness, my sons are so powerful. You know, they can go and retrieve back dead children long back. Then when I lost six children, so can I have them? So Devaki is asking Krishna and Balaram, that can you give my six children? You know, I lost all of them. You know, I'd never had the pleasure of breastfeeding my children. So Krishna and Balaram said, okay, so be it, we will do it. And it is said they immediately go to Sutala Loka, where these six, after their death, were under the custody of Bali Maharaj. They go to him, Krishna and Balaram. And Bali Maharaj receives Krishna and Balaram and, you know, he worships them, offers prayers, everything. He's asking, what can I do for you? Then Krishna and Balaram say that we want these six children of Devaki. And then Krishna and Balaram tell the story to Bali. They tell him that, you see, these six people, they, in this way, they just laughed at a great personality, because of which they had to undergo all this trouble. And Krishna gives the background. Krishna says that after they fell down because of laughing at Brahma, first they had to be born in the house of Hiranyakashipu, you know, and they were killed by Indra, all six of them. They had to undergo that torment. And then after that death,
they had to be born as the six children of Devaki. And now they had to be killed by Kamsa, you know. And Krishna tells Bali that now it is high time that, you know, they get delivered from whatever the reaction is. So I want to take them back so that they drink Devaki's breast milk and they will be freed from all these, because, you know, that was no Mahaprasad, because Krishna had already drunk the first day, you know, when he was born. So Krishna tells Bali that I want these six children because they will drink Devaki's milk and then they will all be delivered. And Krishna also warns Bali, you see what, how dangerous it is to criticize or laugh at a great personality. Then Krishna takes all these six children and gives back to Devaki, and Devaki feeds each of them and she's ecstatic that she got her babies back. And immediately after feeding them, they all assume their devata form, their original form as the son of Marichi. And Krishna tells all of them that be careful now onwards, you know, so please go back to your own abode and henceforward be very careful, you know, with any great personality. And he sends all of them, you know, back to their loka. Then Mahaprabhu concludes the story to this Brahman by saying that, my dear Brahman, similarly, we need to understand that great personalities like Nityananda, we may not be able to understand why they are doing what they are doing. But it's none of our business to even criticize them, laugh at them, or feel that they are in some way lowly or anything like that. And there, Mahaprabhu tells this very famous verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat to this Brahman, that even if I see Lord Nityananda holding the hand of a low-class woman or entering a liquor shop, even then I will never get bewildered. Mahaprabhu tells this to the Brahman. That Brahman is ecstatic by this entire reply. He says that, thank you, my Lord, you clarified, you know, you have very nicely conveyed to me how I should look at this entire thing. You gave me a very big picture. You know, my problem was only with how do I see Nityananda, but you have given a big picture of this whole thing. I will go and go to Navadvip and narrate this story to everybody. You know, that Mahaprabhu has told me the story. And Mahaprabhu says, yes, go to Navadvip and whatever I told you, spread among all my devotees. Then nobody should criticize or even dare laugh at a great personality, because you have no adhikar to do that. So in this way, that particular story. And so that's the background over here. You know, so coming back to advent of Lord Krishna, you know, so even before Krishna comes to this world, there are so many lessons that are already conveyed to everybody. There are, of course, other ways in which this is explained, that the six sons of Devaki stand for the six anarthas which have to be cleaned before Balaram comes, the spiritual master, and then Krishna will come, and so on. But this story is also present in our shastras, which make this point very clear, that one has to be very, very careful when interacting with great souls. Now let's come back to this chapter of advent of Lord Krishna and you know, see something about this particular story, which is again a very beautiful story. You know, I want to focus mainly on the Vasudeva and Kamsa's conversation. Jaya Shashi, Radha Vandana Chandra Bhagavan ki jai, Shashi Kaunita ki jai, Jagannath Balda Subhadrama ki jai. So I want to focus on the story at hand, which is the conversation between Vasudeva and Kamsa. So this chapter itself starts very beautifully with Parikshit Maharaj expressing his great eagerness to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. You know, there are very famous verses there, verse number 4 of this chapter. Nivritta tasya rupagiya manat bhavochada chotra mano binamat kauttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. Where Parikshit is speaking this verse actually. Where he is saying nivritta tasya. Tasya means this desire for enjoyment, material enjoyment in this world. Nivritta, to be freed from it. You know, what is the solution to be freed from it? Bhavochada kauttama shloka gunanuvadat. That means this glorification of the Lord and hearing about Him, upagiyamana, you know, the singing of the glories of the Lord is the bhavoshadi, is the best medicine. And what kind of medicine it is? Generally in this world, medicine is very bitter. But this is manobiramat. This is a medicine that is very pleasing to the ear also. It's amazing because generally medicine isn't great. You know, most medicines are bitter and, you know, they are not great to take. But this medicine is very pleasing to accept. So, Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying first the nature of Krishna Katha. And then Sukadeva Goswami starts the story. He's asking questions about Krishna's birth, Balaram's birth and everything. And then Sukadeva Goswami starts the story by saying that how once when Bhumi Devi was aggrieved because of the demons, she goes to Lord Brahma seeking help. So Acharya has explained that this was not the Lord Brahma who is the creator of the universe, but it was another Brahma, Devata called Brahma, Vairaja Brahma, who stays on Mount Meru, because our Brahma was attending that music performance. You know, so we all know the story that Raivata had gone with his daughter, Revati, to Brahmaloka to ask who is the suitable groom for this girl. And we know that Brahmaji was busy in the musical performance of the Gandharvas, hoo-hoo and ha-ha. So basically the music performance was going on. And when the music performance ended, Brahma invited these people and said, oh, so many ages have passed since you came here. So go right now, Balram is there, arrange the marriage. So Acharya has explained that if Brahmaji was busy in the musical performance and at the end he told him to go immediately down and get married to Balram, then how did in the middle of the musical conference he went to, you know, pray to Vishnu? So he did not go, and Parashara and others give reference from other Puranas. So, I mean, when I was just looking at this point, I just realized that, you know, many times when people read our books, sometimes they get some very technical doubts as to, you know, how this can happen if this is there. So sometimes these technical doubts may not be important, but nevertheless, if someone is actually very well versed with all the Puranas, he will understand background stories. And then he will understand that, oh no, there that clarification is there. So the technical matters are all indeed clarified only. So though whether they are important or no is a different subject, but the fact is that if someone has that complete grasp, it is clarified. And sometimes Acharyas in their commentaries, they mention all these things, so that clarification is available. So it is said there was another Brahma who went, but anyway, they went and, you know, they got this message where Vishnu told that all the demigods' wives and everybody should appear in the family of the Vrishnis to satisfy me. And then Shukadeva Goswami shifts to the story. And what is the story? The story is of Vasudeva and Devaki's marriage. So he starts by saying that this marriage had happened between Vasudeva and Devaki, and Kamsa, you know, who was actually the brother of Devaki, he began to drive the chariot to please his sister. So this is where this whole story opens up. Okay? And then Shukadeva Goswami mentions that King Devaka was very, very affectionate to Devaki, and he had given a huge dowry to his daughter of so many thousands of horses, elephants, gold, you know, and so on. He had given everything to his daughter. And then we see this, that when all this was going on, so it was a very festive occasion. The marriage has just taken place between Vasudeva and Devaki, and Kamsa is driving the chariot. When this is happening, suddenly there is a Ashariravak, an unembodied voice. Then the voice says that, you foolish rascal, addressing Kamsa, the eighth child of this woman you are carrying will kill you. Okay, so suddenly there is this huge resounding Ashariravak. And why is this done? Because the demigods were afraid that, hey, come on, this is a problem now. Krishna is to be born to Devaki, and this Kamsa and Devaki are so affectionate to each other. How will it happen? You know, we need to make it easier for Krishna to kill Kamsa. Something he has to do right against Devaki. If they are all so affectionate like a family, tying Rakhi and, you know, doing all this, then how will it happen that suddenly Krishna will go and kill Kamsa? You know, because when Krishna comes into the world, there has to be some logical reason for him to do it. Simply he cannot do that. So the demigods are perturbed and they try to accelerate matters. They say that, he is going to kill you, you know, so that he offends her and so that Krishna can kill him, you know. So they had their agenda with it. But anyway, when this particular thing happened, immediately Kamsa's nature comes out. You know, so this is the beautiful part of this. Because see, generally when you see someone so affectionate, many times it's not easy to ascertain whether there is a really deep, sincere affection or it is perhaps just superficial and it is just because of social customs, or, you know, it is as long as your agenda is not affected. So that doesn't become very clear. But when this Ashariravak is pronounced, immediately Kamsa's nature comes out. He draws his sword, pulls Devaki's hair and is about to sever her head. That's it. All that love, that brotherly love, everything ended that very second. He's about to knock her off immediately. It is at that time that Vasudev decides to pacify. And the way Vasudev pacifies is so sweet. So first of all, it is said that Vasudev's name is Anakadundubi.
That's one of his names. Because when he was born, the demigods had played Dundubi, you know, the kettle drums. So, Anaka Dundubi. And that was a proclamation that this boy who is born, is going to be some great personality and he's going to accomplish something miraculous. So, Vasudeva was very confident of this proclamation and he knew that something has to happen. You know, the Supreme Lord is planning something through my agency, through my life. And also, Vasudeva immediately, he's married already, he's just married to Devaki and it's his duty to save his wife. So he immediately decides to, you know, do something to Kamsa. So broadly he tries three strategies actually with Kamsa. It's only the third strategy that works. The first strategy he does is the traditional strategy of Sama Dama Veda. You know, so we all know that. So there are these four things, Sama Dama Veda, Danda, right? So Krishna also always practices this. So when Krishna goes as a Shantidut to the Kauravas, you know, before the Hastinapur war, he comes back and to Yudhishthir he's speaking after that failed attempt. You know, when Krishna is tried to be arrested and all that, Krishna goes Vishwarup Darshan in the court of Dhritarashtra and then he comes back. And then he comes back and he tells Yudhishthir, my dear Yudhishthir, Sama Dama Veda, everything I tried, but I failed. Now only Danda is remaining. So Krishna tells Yudhishthir, first I did Sama. I told Duryodhan, please give back their kingdom. I told all of them. This is not correct. They fulfilled the condition. 12 years one was, 1 year Agyat was, everything is over. Give the kingdom back. They didn't agree. Then I tried Dama. I told them, give 5 villages. I tempted. Chalo, keep the full country with you. Only 5 villages you give. That also failed. Then I tried to do Veda. I tried to separate Karna from them. I spoke to Karna separately. I tried to do all these things. You know, to divide them. So that, you know, maybe they will understand that, no, if we get divided among ourselves, then we'll be weak. Krishna is telling Yudhishthira, nothing has worked now. Now the only thing is Danda. You have to punish. You know, so, Samadama Bedanda is a very standard strategy you adopted. So, Vasudeva does the same thing first. Of course, he cannot do Danda because to do Danda, you have to be that competent in terms of power. So he tries the other three. He tells Kamsa that, you know, that you are the pride of your family. You know, basically he's pacifying. You are a great hero in the Bhoja dynasty. You know, he's doing Sama. He's pacifying him by, you know, kind of telling him so many good things about Kamsa. But Kamsa is unmoved. It doesn't work on him. Then he tries Dama. He tells him that, how can you kill a woman, you know, on the occasion of her wedding? Because killing a woman on the occasion of wedding means you are going to kind of, you know, be in some kind of trouble situation later or something. So he tempts him by saying the consequences. Then he tries Veda. He also tells him that those who perform envious acts, you know, in the next life, they get certain destinations and all that. He tries to create that fear in him. Nothing works. He's still holding the hair and the sword, ready to chop her off. And of course, he cannot do Danda because he's not that powerful compared to Kamsa. So then he changes his strategy. So first he tried to pacify him like this, but doesn't work. So then he starts telling Kamsa that he starts telling logic, just to see if logic works. And look at his logic. So he talks to him about the nature of this world. How basically anybody who is born is certainly going to die. And death is certain for every person. So why should a person commit, you know, basically the purpose of presenting this logic of next life is to tell Kamsa that by killing this woman, what are you going to accomplish? Because in any case, we can't protect this body permanently. This body has to die and we have to get another life. And the next life, we are always going to get depending on the actions that we do in this life. So, the least a person can do in a human life is to ensure that one's actions are not off the track of dharma. You know, because if your actions are going to be too off from the platform of dharma, then your next life is surely going to be in trouble. So, this logic he tries to present. You know, so very beautifully he presents. He gives a very nice example. We'll just look at this example a little bit. He says in one place, having experienced a situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation
and surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, one dreams at night of different circumstances. Thus, the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another. So basically, he's telling Kamsa, you know, how we accept different bodies. He's giving two examples here. They're very interesting. The first example actually he's giving Kamsa is about daydreaming. What he's saying is that in this world, people see or hear something and mentally keep imagining about that situation. And they very identify strongly with that situation also. You know, just like if you see people who watch a movie or something, one way they actually enjoy the movie is by identifying with that character on screen. They surrender to that character. Temporarily they forget about their own self. And they identify with the miseries and the joy of that character. And they are laughing, they are crying, he gets the heroine, this fellow is happy, he loses the heroine, he is sad. So basically mentally they imagine something. And we also see that is very powerful actually. Sometimes, people, we call it actually daydreaming. You know, they imagine some situation. And in that imagination, they suffer and they enjoy also. And they are awake, they are in Jagriti, not even in sleep. In broad daylight this happens. You know, where mentally you project some other thing on yourself because of what you heard or saw or experienced in this world. So this is an example that Vasudeva is giving. He's basically saying that a person can do this. Right, sitting here only you can keep imagining and you go into a different bodily existence only, literally. And then he goes on to the next level. He says at night a similar thing happens. Where you are dreaming and now you are identifying with some other body. And there you are enjoying its suffering. So similarly he says, there's nothing, no big deal. Similarly he says, you know, you are going to give up this gross form and accept another one. You know, so in this way he tries to present this logic to him. You know, he tries to present this logic of change of body and how it is very important for us to ensure that our actions are in line with dharma and so on. But it is Kamsa. So Kamsa is not going to listen to all this. So it is said that Kamsa was so fierce that he was not affected only by all these things. He didn't care about sinful reactions of this level. He was not ready to remove his hand from Devaki's hair. He was still there. So now comes the third strategy that Vasudeva employs. So first he tried Samadama Beda, that failed. Then he tries logic of next life, that also failed. Then the third thing, now just see how he's thinking. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. Now what is the background of this plan? That verse is also very beautiful. The text 48. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Beautiful pearls of wisdom from this chapter. So basically Vasudeva is thinking. What is he thinking? That as long as one has intelligence and strength, we should avoid death. You know, and this is everyone's duty. But despite doing everything, if death comes, then we don't commit any offense. You know, so here this, like in Gita, this concept is there, right, about cause of action. So we all know that there is one's own purusha, purushartha, that means one's own endeavor, and daiva, the karma. The point here is, one has to work very hard from purushartha perspective to avoid death or avoid the miserable situation. But despite all your effort, if that situation comes upon you, then only you understand that it is daiva. You know, so this is so important to understand. Otherwise, it's so easy to misunderstand our philosophy as fatalistic, which many Western scholars and many people have done. They have thought that our philosophy is fatalistic. But actually, it is not fatalistic. Our philosophy is based on this idea that Purushartha is done by every individual, where you try very hard to ensure that misery doesn't come upon you. But despite all your effort, if it comes, then how do you look back at it? You look back at it by thinking that it was my karma. That even, I mean, I worked very hard, I never got money, or I worked very hard to keep myself healthy, but I always got disease. I worked very hard to, you know, keep my body fit, but still I died. You know, so then it means that it was my karma because of which it happened. So the whole idea of this is, it is actually from the perspective of looking at the past, not to look for the future and plan that, you know, oh, is it my karma to die at whatever age? No, it's never like that. Like if you see, even in that beautiful story of Satyavan Savitri, so Savitri hears from Narada that this Satyavan is going to die in 1 year. That was actually karma which was said. But still Savitri decides, I will do everything in my power to ensure that does not happen. And she does it actually. And it changes. Because the fact is that karma is fluid actually. Though we generally say that karma is very strong, which is correct. But still karma is a concept by definition that can change. Karma is never so fixed that, you know, it is like that only. It is never like that. Because your purusharta is always there in the background. So it can keep changing. It is never like that. So we see in that story also, very beautiful story, that Savitri decides that no, I will marry this boy and I will prevent his death. And she is successful in it. She manages to do that. That's what the whole Mahabharata story is about. Her determination to send death away from her husband. And that's a similar thought process here Vasudeva is echoing. And this is so important to understand because it has that relevance in one's daily life where you give prominence to your purusharta and karma, you only think about it as a flashback. Sab kuch hone ke baad, I have tried enough in life, you know, and then I look back and think, oh, it was my karma. That's why it happened like that. It is not to plan one's future action that, oh, what is my karma? Let me go to an astrologer and let him tell me, oh, my karma is to remain poor. Why to work now? Anyway, I'm going to remain poor. No, that's not the point. You've got to work. And despite all your efforts, you still were in poverty. Then you look back at it as karma. So that's the context of this verse. In fact, the Shastra is very strong about it that one should always try to avoid death. You know, recently I was doing some research or trying to read up something about, someone asked me this, so how one does, you know, Antya Samskar and all when a person dies. So there are some Vedic scholars who have taken many text from the Vedas and kind of compiled it in terms of rules and regulations of how Antya Samskar is done. I'll just tell one point which is connected to this. So it was mentioned there that if a person commits suicide, his Antya Samskar is completely different. It is not to be done in the regular way. Because the Shastra says that he has killed himself. And there are verses actually which say that it is not about the kind of death, but it is how the death happened. For example, it says, suppose someone drowned in water, but he drowned accidentally. That means somebody went for swimming and he drowned. That is not to be considered as bad. I mean, that's not to be considered in the same category as suicide. Because it says, no, I mean, he had no intention to kill himself. He died of drowning. Uska intention nahi tha marne ka. So then his Antya Sanskar is done regular fashion. But the verses there say that, suppose if a person goes and jumps into the middle of a river with the idea to kill himself, then they say that no, this is suicide only there. Then it says that for 6 months, one cannot do any samskar for that person, for that soul. And the whole method is different. Anyway, I'm not going to that. But what I learned from that is how strong the scriptures are against killing your own body. You can't do that. So that's why we see the fourth verse of this chapter also, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, Vina Pashugnat. You know that verse which is the Nivritata Seer Upagiya Manat Bhavachada Chotramano Viraman. Vina Pashugnat. Who is a person who will not hear Krishna Leela? Only someone who is a killer of the soul. You know, so this verse we see in many places, Atmaha, Ishopanishad also. Because killing oneself is considered extremely abominable. You can't do that. Again, there are some conditions that are given in the Shastra where one could kill himself or one could do. I'm not going to that part. For example, Sati was there, like Madhuri died, or, you know, there are some things which are there, which are said, how one could have done that. But under normal circumstances, there is no question of one could do it. One has to prevent death. And that is the logic that Vasudeva applies over here. He says that, no, I have to prevent her death. I have to do everything possible for it. So then Vasudeva is thinking in his mind. He's thinking that by delivering all my sons to Kamsa, I will save the life of Devaki. Perhaps Kamsa might die before my sons take birth. Because he is anyway going to die one day. Or it is possible that somehow my sons may not die. How this will happen, I don't know. And that's a fact actually. Can you imagine here? Vasudev almost knows that Krishna is going to take birth in his family. But still there is so much uncertainty. Today when we look back, we understand that this had to happen only. But if you see at that point of the time in the story, Vasudev is clueless. I mean, it is against all logic to give a small baby to Kamsa and expect that baby will overpower and kill Kamsa. It just doesn't fit in any logic. But Kamsa thinks maybe something will happen. In due course, Kamsa will die. You know, currently it is my duty to stop the death of Devaki. This is my current point which I have to do. So then he does the third step. And how does he does the third step? Look at this verse. After considering the matter as far as his knowledge would allow. So he thought mentally all this. Vasudev submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa smiling. So the verse says that, you know, Vasudev was smiling. Vihasan idam abravit. Vihasan means he was smiling at Kamsa. And Prabhupada explains the purport that actually Kamsa internally, he was completely anxious. He wanted to protect his wife who is going to die. You know, but externally he was smiling. He was maintaining that external demeanor of being cool and composed, which is again very difficult. Because he knew that if I panic too much, perhaps things will go out of control here. Because he knew that in terms of power, he has no shakti only against Kamsa. There was no point in starting a fight with Kamsa. That he cannot do. He knew his own limitation, at least in that context. So he just started smiling at him. You know. And then he told that, oh brother of the sober. Because he is not sober, brother. You have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki. Because of what you have heard from this Ashari Ravaka. The cause of the death are her sons. Therefore, I promise you, whenever she gives birth to a son, I will deliver him in your hands. When he said this, immediately Kamsa dropped the sword. This is what he wanted. See, the other strategies didn't work with him. He was not going to listen to Samadama and all that stuff. Neither he was interested in the logic of next birth. No interest at all. This was said. He said, okay, fine. If you are promising, because it is said that even Kamsa knew that Vasudev is a man of great integrity and he will give every son. That's also specified. He knew that. And then we are coming to today's verse, where in text 57 it is said, when the first son was born, Vasudev named him Kirtiman. He did the samskara and he went and took the child and gave it to Kamsa. Take it. And in that context that we were studying today's verse, what is difficult? What is painful for a saintly person? What is it that a sinful man cannot do? And what is difficult to give up for the surrendered souls? And then of course we know that then Kamsa says that, oh, first child I have no problem only from him. Eighth is the problem. Take him back. Then again the devatas are a little bit, you know, hey, what is this? You know, love is again developing between the brother and sister. You know, finally it will be a problem. You know, so then Narada Muni goes to Kamsa. Narada Muni is very inconceivable the way he tells some things. You know, you just don't know what logic is fitting in. So Narada Muni goes and tells Kamsa that, you see, all the demigods are taking birth, I have heard, in the family of the Vrishnis, and anybody could be your enemy, just be careful. And he goes away. So that was enough for Kamsa, you know, to decide that, okay, let me arrest all these people. Vasudev, Devaki, Ugrasen, everybody, I put him into prison and I start killing all the children. So that's what he does. So Vasudev and Devaki are in the jail delivering one by one the children. So Gaurav Prabhu was once telling that he was giving a class in IIT. And it seems he mentioned this point, that how Vasudev and Devaki were in jail and every year they were giving birth to one child. So one boy asked, it seems, a question. Why didn't Kamsa put Vasudev and Devaki in different prison houses? So that child only would not be born. So Gaurav Prabhu said, I told him that, oh, Kamsa, IIT Sadeita, you know. So he didn't have that much brain substance that, you know, this also could be done as a strategy. But anyway, so in this way he, you know, each of the six children were born and they died at the hand of Kamsa. And we of course saw the background story. Just concluding in 2 minutes. Krishna, you know, of course the advent of Krishna and the later things are going to come ahead from tomorrow. But one thing amazing about Krishna's life, if you see, I mean the impact it has had in our country. Like there was one person who was telling me that in India there are 3,000 places named after Krishna. Like towns, villages, like that. Like Krishnapur, Krishna Nagar. And we are saying only Krishna means Haripur, Rampur, Narasimhapur. I mean named after the other incarnations are different. Only Krishna name, there are 3,000 places in our country which are named only after Krishna. So, you know, the kind of influence, if you see, even if we see, of course, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, that as devotees we know, but even if you see Krishna as just a personality, if you see his life, such an amazing life. He had all components in his life, you know, which people aspire for. Be it political, philosophical, like he speaks Bhagavad Gita, social. If you see Krishna's marriages with 16,108 wives, none of that Krishna's marriage was because he wanted to marry. Kabhi bhi nahi tha. It was always from the other person. Somebody was in trouble, he went and married her. 16,100 girls were in trouble. Nobody would accept them. Chalo, I'll marry all of them. Even if you consider as a social reformer and as a person who goes against society and does things, you know, which is what people like to see nowadays. You see that in Krishna. If you want to see love, you know, romance, you know, oh, the king of all that is Krishna. And what to speak of friendship, you know, having good friends, having a ball of a time, as they say, you know, playing games, you know, enjoying life, eating nice food, having good relations. Again, you see Krishna. Character, every aspect of life, if you take, the pinnacle of that you see in this Krishna's life of 125 years. And that is what endears people to him so much. I mean, if you just see carefully in India, all art, if you see Hindustani music, Carnatic music, if you see maximum songs in all that, it's all on Krishna only. And it is not that, you know, those singers are all quote unquote devotees of Krishna who want to sing about Krishna. No, it just happens like that. I mean, I had some experience of hearing several such classical concerts. And if you look at the meaning of the songs, it's all devotional only, written by different people. But it's all connected to Krishna only. It has to happen. At least 90-95% are connected to Krishna, and maybe others are connected to other avatars and other gods. But the even dance, if you see, in Indian culture, if you see all kinds of dance, Bharatanatyam, this, that. Most of the songs on which the dances are put are on Krishna's Leela only. Because there is so much in it. You know, so such a character, if you see, even if somebody would just look at Krishna as just a individual in this world, without even understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't fail being not attracted to him. You ho hi nahi sakta. And what to speak of being a fighter. So I just want to end with this note that today is also the day when Prabhupada left to America. On the Jaladuta, you know, nature of Krishna was not to give up, it was to fight. You know, and that aspect we see in Prabhupada also. You know, never gave up. Always he would fight. You know, the fighter. So, while devotee was once comparing, even if you see Prabhupada and Saraswati Thakur, it is said Saraswati Thakur, if the situation was unfavorable, sometimes it seems he would pull back. Like Saraswati Thakur went to one Maharaj of Tripura. He had invited him for a conference. And in that conference, that Maharaj of Tripura gave opportunity for all the Sahajiyas, Mayavadis, everybody to speak, except Saraswati Thakur. Unko 5 minute ka time diya. And Saraswati Thakur was very upset, it seems, that why these people are not giving me time only to speak. It seems he fasted for 4 days, didn't eat anything. Because his idea was, if I cannot speak, I will not eat here. And then he just chup-chup, he went back to the railway station and caught a train. And then Maharaj, he understood that Maharaj of Tripura understood that this great saint came and he did not eat only 4 days in my house. He goes to the railway station begging, please take something at least. He says that, no, I never got an opportunity to speak, so I'm just going back. You know. So, my devotee was comparing, he was saying that Saraswati Thakur would withdraw sometimes. If something didn't go favorably, just a little bit withdraw. That was also one kind of strategy. Prabhupada's strategy was to fight. So, whether it was at Mr. Price in New York or whether it was Mr. Nair in Bombay, whoever, Prabhupada would love to fight with, you know, and, you know, get whatever he wanted. You know, he would always say, I'm the boy from Calcutta. I'm not going to give up like that. I will fight and get it. You know, that fighter nature, if you see, that is again a nature of Krishna. Krishna has all the qualities. You know, Krishna was an amazing fighter. You know, he could not give up only. You know, till and whoever he wanted to destroy, he accomplished that. What a life of 125 years. Even if you just look at it as a personality in this world, how can one fail to be attracted to such a wonderful personality? Right? So that note, so we will end the class today. So briefly speaking, we took this verse where we started off by talking about the background of the six sons of Devaki. You know, the story from Mahaprabhu narrating to that Brahman. Started from that. And then later we saw the three reasons how Vasudev tries to console Kamsa. First by Samadama, doesn't work. Logic, doesn't work. And then he says that, no, I will give all my children. And Kamsa believes it. Okay. With that, we will end the day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? శ్రీ గణతరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జయ, శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జయ, గౌరవ భక్తుల కి జయ, నిదాయ గౌర ప్రమానంద హరే హరే.